But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. This is Nicole. Join me on this adventure as we go from glory to glory. Hello and welcome back. So we are finally at the end of this series of finding your purpose and destiny. And this is going to be the last class in this series. And today I will be teaching on the topic of scepters. So let me just go ahead and pray so we can get started here. Lord, I thank you for navigating our path on this journey in this series. Lord, I thank you for the beautiful revelation that you brought forth from day one up until today, the final class on scepters. I just ask that our ears will be open to your spirit and that we will be able to discern clearly what it is that you have for us in this final teaching, Lord. And I pray that you will give us the grace that we need to live as righteous people so that we're able to walk out and demonstrate you in the earth, Lord. That we would be able to fully model the person or persons that you're calling to carry out the scepters. And Lord, we thank you for this day. Bless our time. Surround us with your presence and your glory. Bring understanding through these teachings. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so scepters. Well, first of all, why don't I go ahead and put up a photo on the screen here of what a scepter is. If you don't know what it is, this is generally a symbol, or we see it is generally used by people in royalty. Royalty, they carry a scepter. Now, there's a possibility you don't know what it means, or why are they even carrying that? What does it signify? And so the scepter actually signifies authority. See, you can be someone who is in charge, but you still don't have the authority to do the things that you want to do. This happens, we see it all over, right? Not because a minister of God or a pastor or a leader has the position or the title or the following means that they have the authority to do anything. You know, and I believe if we are going to be the church that the Lord is asking us to be, we need to be people who walk in authority, really is what it boils down to. And this, along with many of the other things that I've actually learned over the course of the years that I've been saved, is something that I just stumbled upon, something that I saw in the spirit, and then I had to go and find out from the Lord, well, what is that? And basically, I was at a conference, I'll tell you, and the angels showed up and they were basically giving people their next level of authority in the spirit, is what I was seeing now that I think about what they were giving out. So one group of angels came into the room and they were putting mantles on people. And there were a lot of mantles being given out. Then after that, I saw another group coming and they had crowns. I already talked about the crowns. But there were much less crowns than there were mantles. So there were a lot of mantles, but on that particular day, I only saw 4 crowns being given. Then after the crowns were given, one angel came in and he had a scepter. There was only one scepter, and there were a lot of people in that room. And so that in itself tells you that this is not a common thing. It isn't. And again, you can have someone who has a giant church with a huge following, big title, well known, everybody knows this person, but they still, in the realm of the spirit, have no authority. No authority. And so I just want to go through today, like, what this looks like, how you are able to identify it, and also in your own life, if this does exist for you, that you'll be able to know, yes, I can see this. This is evident. And also just some advice, some counsel on how you carry that out. Well, how do you walk with this now that you have it? Even if you don't have it today, if you have it in the future, that you understand that there is a requirement from God as to how you operate when you have a scepter. So, I think one of the most famous stories of scepter in the Bible, I'm not going to pull it up because we have a lot of ground to cover here today, is the story of Esther going before the king. When Mordecai said to Esther, you know, go and meet with the king and tell him or plead your case so that the Jewish people will be saved. And she said, I can't just go before him like that. He has to stretch out his scepter to me. And when I touch the scepter, that's when I'm given permission to speak. So the scepter then is the symbol of the king's authority to grant her access. It's saying, I'm granting you access to do this. That's a symbol of the authority. So the word for scepter in the Old Testament, since this is primarily where we see it, in the Hebrew it's shebet, and it means rod, staff, club, scepter, tribe. So that means that there are instances in the Bible when the word rod is used or staff is used, and that is actually meaning scepter as well. Okay, so for example, the 23rd Psalm, it says in verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And so basically what that means is, regardless of what I'm going through, even though I'm walking in very deep, dark days, my comfort comes in the knowledge that your authority, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. I find comfort in the fact that God is the final authority. Regardless of what's going on in my life or what's happening around me, the final authority is God. So his rod and his staff, they're comforting me. You know, we saw David as a shepherd boy, and shepherds run the sheep with a rod, right? Shepherd's rod. That shows that they have the authority over that flock. This is the idea of the rod, okay? And another idea of rod is, or the staff, is the whole picture of Moses. And we can't go through all of these scriptures because there are so many of them. But I want you to, in your own time, as homework, read Exodus chapter 4 through to chapter 20, 4 to 20. And as you're reading the story of Moses, I want you to pay attention to the rod and how he used his rod. Okay, this is really key, because it just goes to show you the authority of that rod. And what is amazing is, if you think about it, if you go back and read it, it's not like he got some special rod from God. He always had that staff. But at a certain point, God changed, and in the level of the spirit, he was upgraded and given the authority. When he went before the Pharaoh, all of a sudden, that rod in his hand was no longer just a regular rod. No, it literally had authority given, right? Because when the magicians threw down their rod, the Lord is like, throw down your rod, and his rod ate up the snakes, or their rod that turns into snake, right? So he had the authority over them, basically. And so Moses' symbol of authority was his rod, right? Yes. And so when you have a scepter and you're given that authority in the realm of the spirit, I want you to know that this doesn't mean that you could just do whatever you want. This is a big deal to God. And reading through Exodus 4 through 20, you see that Moses never actually ever used that rod to do anything unless God said. So God says, use your rod, touch the water. He uses his rod, he touches the water. God says, tell Aaron to use the rod to strike the ground, and then the lice came forth, and he did that. So Aaron was under the authority of Moses, who is under the authority of God. And if you think of it, it's the same picture of marriage as well, right? The wife is under the authority of the husband, and the husband should be under the authority of God, right? So then the submission, there's not a problem there, because as long as the one we're looking at, who's the ultimate leader, is under the authority of God, everything is fine, right? So that authority is not just do what you want to do. When you have a scepter, you don't just get to do what you want to do. That's not what it's there for. It's there, and you only get it when God knows that you are going to be responsible enough with that authority. Okay? And even if you go further into the story of Moses, and you realize that when God said to him, take the rod, which is his symbol of authority, strike the rock one time and water will come out of it. And he did that, and the water came out of it. And then the second time God said to him, this time I need you to speak to the rock and tell the rock for the water to come out of it. And he didn't do that. What did he do? He took the rod, which was the symbol of his authority, in his anger, and struck the rock twice. And from that day forward, God said, no, sorry. I didn't tell you to do that. You acted out of anger, and you used your authority to do something I did not tell you to do. And from that day forward, he lost his authority. That's how serious this is. That's why not that many people have a scepter, because God takes it very serious. So the idea then of him striking the rock when God said speak to the rock is that he abused his authority. And then God said, that's it. You can't go into the promised land. Because I want you to think of, if you have that level of authority in the spirit, you can do anything. Your words, since the scepter is not something that you're seeing, then become very powerful. You carry a lot of weight. That means you can say things, you can pray things, you can declare things that are very powerful in the realm of the spirit. Therefore, God is not going to give that authority to someone who's likely to just do anything, right? No. He can't just give it to anybody. He can't, because then that person would become incredibly dangerous. You would be very dangerous if you have that level of authority to do something in the realm of the spirit, and you have yet to govern over your own self. You know what I mean? We talked earlier in the earlier classes about the makeup of man and the fact that we need to be regenerated in mind, body, soul, spirit, right? So you give a scepter to somebody that has not yet learned how to crucify their flesh, that has not yet learned how to extend forgiveness, that has not yet learned how to walk in love, and then you say to them, do what you want to do, you have full authority, and they become a very dangerous person because they don't understand that they just can't do what they want to do. The scepter and the person with the scepter is under the authority of God. That means they don't just get to decide what they want to do. They gotta ask God first, am I supposed to be doing this? Is this the right thing? Okay? And you can have scepters over many different areas. It's not just the church, okay? So someone can have a scepter over different industries, over different cities, over different regions, over different towns, over law enforcement, the media, in the government. They can have scepters over many different areas. So imagine if you had a scepter for your city and you see that someone is going to end up being the city commissioner or the city councilman, and you're like, what? No. That can't happen. And you just use your authority in the realm of the spirit to shut that down without asking God, is this the one you selected to be here? Is this your doing? Do you want this to happen or not? No. If someone acts in their own flesh and they have a scepter, they could completely disrupt God's plan. And that's why he's not going to give this to someone that has not yet learned how to rule and govern their own flesh, their own thinking, their own soulish desires. Because not everything God is doing in the earth are we going to agree with. You have to know this. We're not going to like every leader or ruler that God puts into a place of authority, right? So you have to have control over your own self. We have to be able to say, not my will, but yours be done. I don't understand what you're doing here, Lord. I have no idea why you're selecting this person to do this, but okay. Because you check in with God. You recognize him as the final authority, even though he's working with you on the earth to bring things about. You're not going to step out of line and just say whatever, do whatever, because you have the authority. I just want to say all of that in the beginning before we go into scriptures here so that you understand. You don't just get to do what you want to do. You have authority in a certain area, sector, industry, city, town, wherever, but that authority is under the authority of God. This is not something that can just be given to you, by the way, by anybody or somebody imparted a scepter on me. I don't think so. No, this comes from the Lord, straight from God. And so he is the one who decides when he says, okay, I can trust this person. I can trust you to make the right decision in this industry because you understand my heart. You've submitted to my authority. You've gone through all the years of training and trial and tribulation, you have completely regenerated your soul and you're able to subject yourself to me as God. Therefore, I'm going to give you the ability to now have authority in this area. Okay, so we see in Psalm 45 verse 6, it says, God's scepter is one of righteousness. Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. So his scepter is one of righteousness, doing the thing that is right in the sight of God, in the sight of God. His kingdom is a scepter of righteousness. It's doing what is right in the sight of God, not in the sight of other men, not in the sight of what we feel is the right thing. His scepter is one that's coming from the kingdom that's being governed in righteousness. It's being governed by the word of God. What does the word of God say? And sometimes that's going to go against what the culture is saying. Right? Okay, Genesis 49:10. It says, the scepter of royalty does not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until Shiloh, the Messiah, the peaceful one, comes, and to him shall be the obedience of the peoples. So we see that Christ actually came through the tribe of Judah. That's why it says that the scepter shall not depart from Judah, because from the beginning that was the tribe that had the scepter. You can have many different kings. There is a section in the Bible, a part when the kingdom got split and you had the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom, and there was the tribe of Israel and the tribe of Judah. And this is saying, even though there was a split there, that scepter, the authority, was always with the tribe of Judah, because the ultimate king, which is the Messiah, was coming through that tribe. Now, we do know that at some point when we became grafted in with into Christ by salvation, that he then took his authority and pass that on to us, that we are now able to rule. Okay, so I'm going to show you that shortly. So Psalm 110:2 says, the Lord shall send the rod of your strength out of Zion, rule in the midst of your enemies. When you have a scepter, you are not afraid of what's going on around you, because you understand that you have authority over it. They can throw their rods and it will turn into a snake, but your rod is gonna gobble that thing up, because you have authority, right? What did he say? He says, I give you authority to tread upon serpent and scorpions, and nothing by any means shall harm you. Okay, so you have the authority over the powers of darkness. Revelation 19:15. Now out of his mouth comes a sharp sword, that with it he shall strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of the Almighty God. So that rod of iron, that's the scepter. He has final authority in Revelation 19, that's Jesus Christ, to rule the earth. So let's look at how we come to get this scepter. Remember now, the scepter is one of righteousness, doing the right thing in Christ. Revelation chapter 2. I'm going to start from verse 18. Through to 29, it says, and to the angel of the church of Thyatira write, these things says the Son of God, who has eyes like flame of fire and his feet like fine brass. I know your works, love, service, faith, and your patience. And as for your works, the last are more than the first. Nevertheless, I have a few things against you, because you allow the woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit sexual immorality and eat things sacrificed to idols. And I gave her time to repent of her sexual immorality, and she did not repent. Indeed, I will cast her into a sickbed, and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation, unless they repent of their deeds. I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he who searches the minds and the hearts, and I will give to each one according to your works. Now to you I say, and to the rest in Thyatira, as many as do not have this doctrine, who have not known the depths of Satan, as they say, I will put on you no other burden, but hold fast what you have till I come. And he who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give power over the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron, that is the scepter. They shall be dashed to pieces like the potter's vessel. As I have also received from my Father, and I will give him the morning star. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So it says, basically, hold fast to what I have taught you until I come. And if you overcome and you keep my works until the end, I'm going to give you the scepter. So when all of these false things comes into the church, when the sexual immorality comes into the church, when you see the things going on in the church that you know are not correct, and you have decided not to align with that, not to associate with that, not to co-sign on it, not to throw out cheap grace, really is what it is, when we continue to encourage behavior that we fully well know is not God. When you step away from that and say, no, this is not right. It's not right in Christ. He's saying, I'm giving you a scepter. Why? Because God's scepter is one of righteousness. It's not going to endorse the sin. We love the sinner. We speak grace to the sinner and love to the sinner, but we hate the sin. So we can't endorse it. That's righteousness. That's separating ourselves from those things. And then he says, because you're not associating with that, you have nothing to do with that, I'm going to give you a scepter. And with that scepter, it gives you power over the nations, right? And you have the ability to dash them to pieces like a potter's vessel. They cannot stand in your presence. Doesn't matter how powerful they say they are in the realm of the spirit, you will have the authority over that. That's how you get this. So, you know, sometimes what's right in God's eyes is not going to be popular in society. This is what you need to know. And sometimes what the Lord is going to ask you to do, not everybody is going to agree with you, even in the church. And so you need to understand that as you begin to walk with Christ and in his righteousness and doing what he's saying is the right thing to do, you now have authority. He's going to give you the authority to do things they can't do. They're not going to be able to do it because they have co-signed with unrighteousness. Psalm 125. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people from this time forth and forevermore. For the scepter of wickedness shall not rest on the land allotted to the righteous, lest the righteous reach out their hands to iniquity. So we see that there is a scepter of wickedness, because there is an evil side as well, right? So what this is saying is, if there is a scepter of wickedness that's over your territory, even those who are in the church are going to try to reach out their hand and touch that and align with that. And he's saying, no, I don't want this scepter of wickedness to stand, right? And then it says in verse 4, do good, O Lord, to those who are good and to those who are upright in their hearts. That's the righteousness. And as for such as turn aside to their crooked ways, the Lord shall lead them away with the workers of iniquity. Peace be upon Israel. So the point is that those who have the scepter of righteousness, which is the scepter of God, has the ability to tear down the scepter of wickedness. Why? You want to tear down the scepter of wickedness because you don't want the righteous people to align with it. When you have a scepter, you have the authority to tear down the scepter of wickedness. How? It's a simple prayer, and you just pray the scripture straight. It says, for the scepter of wickedness shall not rest on the land allotted to the righteous, lest the righteous reach out their hand to iniquity. That's it. Cut the scepter of wickedness. It literally is that simple. But you won't have the authority to do that if you've aligned with the wickedness. Now imagine if all the people with the scepters were to step into their authority, God's authority, God's scepter of righteousness, and cut down the scepter of wickedness. What kind of world do you think we would have if we did that? I'm gonna leave you with that, because you're the only one that's ever gonna know if you have this. How do you know? Pray that prayer I just told you. And if you see them dropping, then you know, okay, there's something here. You're also going to know from your life if you are aligning with it. You know what I'm saying? You go to church, the worship music you're listening to, you fully well know what your pastor is involved in, if it's not good, and you're still sitting under there. You're still sitting under that wickedness. You can't do that. At some point, you have to cut from that and say, no, I cannot sit under this scepter. I need to exit this place, because God has called you to something higher than that. Do you understand? It's drawing the line in the sand and saying, I can't do this. And I'm not saying that you're going to agree with every single person that you meet. No. Or even that you're going to agree with everything that's going on in your church. No. But if you know that the leader in your church is involved in something that is not right and is still up there exercising whatever they're exercising over the congregation, you cannot sit on that, because you agree to it and then you're now party to it, and now you're going to walk out the same unrighteousness in your own life, really is what it is, because you're touching that, right? Yes. So you can't do that. You have to come out from that. You can't sit there, sing worship music for somebody that you fully well know what spirit is going on there and call it anointed. No. They got some anointing of something else. You don't want that on you. You don't want that on you. So at some point, you have to cut with everything where you know this person has this spirit on them. I cannot sit under that. This worship leader is doing this. I cannot sit under that. You have to separate yourself, because you answer to a God that is righteous. If you intend to have a scepter of righteousness, You cannot associate with that. Why? Because you will have no authority to speak against it because you've endorsed it. That's the teaching for today. I know it was very strong, but listen, that's why not a lot of people have this. You see, it says, many are called, few are chosen. The path is super narrow, my friends. It's small, very small. And a lot of people who have these scepters, they're not known. Nobody knows them because you probably wouldn't pick them. They're just not known. They stay in the quiet in the back and they operate and they do what the Lord says. And it's not going to be popular. Anyway, I pray that you got something out of this. Do you have a question? Leave it in the comments. Send me an email and let's talk. Anyway, this is the end of this series. Next week, we're going to go into something else. The Lord is telling me to teach on meditating on the scriptures because we do need it right now. All right, let me pray us out of here. Lord, we thank you for your authority under which we fall, Lord, and we look to you to guide and direct us in your righteousness. We love you. We thank you for the men and the women of God that you're raising up in this hour to walk in the authority of the righteousness of your scepter. And we thank you that they will have the ability to tear down scepters of wickedness. We love you, Lord. We thank you. We pray that you continue to grant us the grace that we need to walk in this. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, go forth, be blessed, and I will see you again in the next class. Bye.